Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. And you're going to be glad you did because we got Jim Ostroff back on the show. Jim is an editor, one of the outstanding editors over at the Kiplinger Editors, the folks who produce the Kiplinger Letter, which has been around since 1923, and a document that I've been reporting on since next month. Will be 12 years that I've been reporting on the Kiplinger Letter, which gives you an idea about how much regard I give this outstanding publication. And Jim is our good friend, Jim Ostroff. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, welcome, and thank you, Jim. I appreciate it, and good morning, everyone.
It's good to have you here. Jim, the lead on the letter this week is about whether whether we should give up investing in U.S. stocks. Now, is this about investing in the stock market, or is it just about U.S. stocks, as opposed to Chinese stocks?
Yeah, well, we're talking about investing in the stock market, which includes a broad variety of companies, of course, but then it's basically companies listed on U.S. stock exchanges,
right?
The thing here is that people have taken a tremendous buffeting and beating. In the recent year and a half, maybe two, and some would say, I'm not going back in there, or I'm not going to invest anymore. In short, we look at the record, at the historical record, mm-hmm. and trends, and we believe the stock market is still a very good bet.
Well, the two issues here. One is whether to invest in companies that have. They're U.S. based or companies that are maybe say in European based, and I think Europe is really going to have a lot of challenges. I mean, they've got this sovereign debt issue in Europe is really going to take a toll, I think, on the recovery of that economy over there.
Well, yes,
there's no question about that, and I think as much as America has similar potential problems. I think we've got time to fix ours, but I do think that the economic recovery is going to be much better in the United States than it is going to be in Europe. But on this idea of investing in the stock market, Jim, things have changed, haven't they, in the last 20 years? Because the old buy and hold idea, the idea that that you could buy stocks and forget about them almost. Just if you weren't an active professional investor, you just wanted to put some money away. You were better off that rather than putting it in a savings account, you were better off to buy a stock and buy a little bit every month, and then forget about it. Come back 10 years and see. Okay, how much do I have now?
Right. I mean,
those days are gone, though, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. And I'm saying is that the market will fluctuate. The fluctuations in the market maybe. More pronounced, than they were in the past. But the latest things that we have seen, again, indicate that so-called dollar-cost averaging, investing periodically and regularly over time, should produce better results than putting it in a savings account. But of course, like anything, it depends when and if you need the money.
Right.
If the market is more volatile, there are odds you may... I need to sell, and you're selling at great gain,
right.
Or you're selling at a loss. But generally, overall, the stock market outperforms many other investments.
Over the long term. But I will tell you, though, Jim, over the last 20 years, that's been a lot more of a volatile situation.
It has.
Now, of course, we have crashes. We've had crashes. We had one in 87.
Right.
We had one in 2000, beginning of March 2000.
Right.
We had another one 18 months ago. And so we've had those, but the idea that you can buy and hold and not pay attention. I heard someone say, buy and research.
Well, that is very
buy and research. Buy and stay involved. In other words, maybe you don't trade those stocks, but the point this person was making is the old idea of buying and not ever checking that, maybe not even worrying about it. I mean, obviously everybody checks their stock portfolio, but I'm just saying not worrying about it for 10 years, that's probably not a good strategy anymore.
It is not. You really need to pay some attention, because things change, and they change more rapidly than ever. And they just do. The fundamentals can change. So it's important. You might say, okay, yes, invest for the long term, but pay attention.
Well, the thing that I think is fundamental to this discussion is that the motivations of the publicly traded companies is more short term today than it ever was. I want to touch on this when we come back after these messages, and we're going to move on to some other things. Stay with us. 22, right back.
Every time you kiss me, I'm still not certain that you love me. Every time you hold me, I'm still not certain that you care.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of stuff there. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. We'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. If you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Jim Ostroff is with us. He's editor at the Kiplinger Editors. We're talking about the Kiplinger Letter, and their website is kiplinger.com. And all their publications, all the different weekly and bi-weeklies that they have there, as well as the Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, right, Jim?
Yes, it is, and that's the nation's, the world's first, and we think still the best personal finance magazine.
So check it out. What about that phone number, Jim?
Yeah, there's a toll-free number for subscriptions, and that's 800-544-0155.
So check it out, folks, and they still have 30-day free trial, so take advantage of that. Jim, we're talking about investing. We're talking about whether, you know, it's still a good idea to invest in stocks. I think a lot of people are still a little bit concerned. I do think that the retail investor has a disadvantage on Wall Street compared to the institutional investors who have all their algorithms set up where, you know, they have all the triggers to buy and sell and to go long and to go short and all that. I think the small business investor, the small investor, I should say, has a tough time against those odds and those forces. The other thing I think concerns me about investing in the stock market is the short term, as I said earlier, the short term psychology, I should say.
Well, yeah.
Of Wall Street these days, it's all about the quarterly report. In the old days, Jim, it wasn't like that so much, and companies would invest for the long term. Companies would invest. They weren't devoted to the quarterly earnings report as much, I think, and that allowed companies to take longer views. Today, everything's in the quarter. And I think that's detrimental to the marketplace. I think it makes it more volatile to invest.
I personally, and I've had some experience as a business reporter, I agree.
Now, let me say one quick thing, Jim. It doesn't make it more dangerous to trade. If you're a trader, that's what you want, things going up and down. But if you're an investor, meaning you're going to buy and hold some period of time, that's what I'm talking about.
That and other factors have made the market more volatile. So it is somewhat harder. And as we said, you know, it's not a good idea to say I'm buying this stock or whatever and forget it. I'll come back in 10, 15 years.
Right.
You need to pay attention.
Of course, one thing you can do for the long term, it seems to me, and you guys reported on that this week in the letter, and that's if you buy dividend-paying companies, if they're paying dividends, you know, then at least you've got some income coming in, right?
Well, you do, and that is guaranteed as long as the companies remain around.
Right. But, I mean, even if the stock goes up and down a little bit,
right.
then you're still, at least you got some return on the money.
That's correct.
So that's the difference between a growth company and a, what's the other term that they use? I forget. But the company, the growth company, typically will not pay stocks because they're growing. I mean, dividends because they're spending their money on growing.
Well, yeah.
And then a more mature company is going to be more likely, more established. They're going to be more likely to pay a dividend.
Well, that's correct, and they pay various amounts of dividends.
Yeah, and there are some companies out there, Jim, that have never missed a quarter paying a dividend.
Oh, absolutely. Through terrible times, even, they've always managed to pay their dividends.
Yeah.
You need to research that.
Jim, moving over, the economy seems to be improving a little bit, and you guys reported on that this week.
Well, yeah, and, you know, again, now, a broader number, larger number of things seem to be sprouting across the economy. You can look at housing starts and retail sales, service sector employment and employment in manufacturing are all increasing steadily. It's not a dramatic amount, but they are increasing. And the thing is that, for instance, you know, this year, we believe when the numbers are in, that the first quarter GDP, you know, will show an increase of about 3%. Now, of course, that's modest compared to the nearly 6% the last 3 months of last year.
Which was really a pent-up demand kind of thing.
It was, and that was a sudden burst. And you wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want the economy again growing that fast. It'll be about 3%. So the thing is that is an indication that the economy is sort of solidly on track.
Well, and it'll be three quarters in a row.
That's right.
Out of the recession.
That's right. It is. And so, you know, we're out of the recession. No one can say what the future holds, but the signs are positive and they're looking up modestly.
Right. One of the things, and that's good news, Jim, and I will tell you that I'm seeing that. And my own business, I'm seeing it in as I talk to small business owners around the country, as I travel around and talk to them, I'm seeing that they seem to be, as I talk to people on, you know, who are part of my brain trust, they're out there in the marketplace just like you and I are, and they're seeing this thing too. So there's definitely something going on, folks, and I think the marketplace, the economy, is on a path to recovery. The question is, in my opinion, I think this is a very valid question, and I'm not the only one who's asking it, Jim.
Yeah.
And that is the are our so-called leaders going to screw it up? And they have the capacity to do it, and in my opinion, they have the ineptitude to do it. The question is, will they? And when we come back, Jim and I are going to talk about a little bit of that, because right now there's a face-off, as you guys point out, Jim. In your letter, there's a face-off between Wall Street and Washington. And we'll talk about this a little bit more right after these messages. 10 till the hour, Jim Oesterhoff is our guest. He's with the Kiplinger Editors. Here's Barbara Lewis to take us up.
It seems so good to see you back again. How long has it been?
They ask me how I knew my true love was true.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for joining us. Thanks for staying with us. That's from the Wayback Machine. That's the Platters. And what's Tony Williams' voice there on the Platters? Jim Oesterhoff is our guest. He's with the Kiplinger Editors, and he's our good friend. Jim, and by the way, that's Kiplinger.com. I hope you'll check out their website and all the things that they do there, all their publications, including the Kiplinger letter that Jim and I are talking about right now. Jim, you guys called it a face-off on Wall Street, but this is really a face-off between Washington and Wall Street, isn't it?
Well, it is. Of course, we've seen this at other times in the past, like Washington v. Standard Oil, or during the FDR administration.
Or IBM, or Microsoft.
Or AT&T.
You know, our government going to war with companies, I mean, it's troubling to me.
And, you know, most times in the recent past, ultimately, and it went to court, and after many, many, many years, the government said, we're settling, we're walking away. And, you know, that's just...
But this is a fraud case, a civil fraud case that the SEC is bringing against Goldman Sachs.
Well, that's right, and they're basically charging that Goldman Sachs knowingly, and many officials knowingly, went beyond any reasonable standard, and sought to basically benefit from their own activities at investors' expense, and it amounted to outright fraud.
And if they did that, Jim, they should go after them. But what troubles me is this pervasive attitude coming out of Washington that businesses are bad.
And
that's not good for small business.
And the thing is also, you know, in general, it can be very deleterious if it undermines confidence generally in business and the economy.
Right.
And it, of course, these things have tremendous ripple effects. So, you know, it's going to be a tough case to win in any event. It sort of indicates, you know, that a settlement is more likely. But it may undermine public confidence.
But think about the coincidence of this suit at the moment that the Senate is debating a financial regulatory bill.
And I got to say, it likely is not coincidental.
Yeah, I don't think it is either.
No, and I should say, you see this type of thing in, you know, different administrations. I mean, it doesn't make a Democrat or Republican, but they very often will use a hammer, you know, at a sign. And in this case, perhaps to try to win that so-called financial regulatory reform.
And Jim, there probably are some things that need to be done. But you and I both know that that our members of Congress aren't qualified, really, to make good decisions on this. We saw them mess up things with Sarbanes-Oxley, which was not needed at all, and they did it. There probably are some things needed to be done, some regulatory things that need to be done to stop certain things. But we all know that the heavy hand of government is going to overplay that hand.
Well, you know, it has in the past, and then they've gone back or backed off of it, like with SOX.
Well, but what I'm worried about though is that you know, there's as much as I've been irritated and disgusted with some of the things that Wall Street has caused, and while other people have gotten rich, they've caused a lot of pain for other people. As disgusting as I've been, we all know that we need the Wall Street, we need the capital markets to be strong in the United States.
Well, and bottom line, the concern is that this may muck up markets and therefore ultimately make it more difficult for businesses of any size to raise capital, to have access to capital, and it may, they might say, ironically, make trades of any commodity and including financial derivatives of any sort, you know, less transparent.
Right.
And so that's a negative. And it affects, you might say, price discovery. What is the price?
And it's also going to get down, Jim, remember, part of this financial regulatory bill is going to get down into the banking situation, the small business banking, the independent community banks. It's going to filter all the way down to the whole banking industry.
Well, it will, and so it.
And that's going to have an impact on small businesses.
Bottom line, Main Street, you know, again, the concern is that individuals and companies and small businesses will have a tougher time.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. You know, Jim, if you're trying to understand the concept of unintended consequences, I would tell people just go watch Congress, because whatever they do has more unintended consequences than it does, you know, good consequences. And most of the time, I know, folks, I've got an attitude about this. Hey, Jim Ostroff, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim Ostroff with the Kiplinger Editors. He'll be back. I promise I will be too, but it'll be tomorrow. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.